Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and our guest tonight is me. I'm a guest in my own studio.
I know.
Yeah.
So why are you the guest?
Well, you explain it to him, because you're interviewing me tonight.
That's right. I'll be interviewing Dan, and the primary reason is to tell you about what he'll be doing as the new president of worldvoices.org, and all the things wrapped up in what that means, because it's a big responsibility.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Are you sure you mean to do this?
I question myself every morning. Anyway, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. JMC Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California. Here are the guys.
I mean, we've been doing it a long time, but
yeah.
But seeing my cousin do it.
Are we on?
Hey, we're back.
What happened to the you're on?
I'm watching the 10-second delay on my laptop. Hey, everybody.
Don't do that. Hi there. I'm Dan Leonard. I'm
George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Especially tonight.
Yes.
Extra BS-y.
Yes.
For you.
Yes. We'll fix that in post.
Good.
Anyway. So
that's why you come here live, folks. You want to see the warts and all of doing the show live. We have a great time.
That's true. So you get to take the helm tonight.
I do. This is so weird. We're going to rehearse right here live on the show.
No, this is totally unscripted and always unrehearsed.
Well, you know what? World Voices is something I've been involved with since near the beginning, thanks to you.
Yeah.
And Dan, tell us, what makes you uniquely suited to fall into this position of president of World Voices? Maybe you should even go back a step. It's just introduce World Voices.
Well,
like reintroduce what it actually is.
Well, World Voices, the initial thought of it came in 2007, mm-hmm. way back when, at the first voice conference at the now legendary Palace Station Casino in Las Vegas.
2007. I think that's the year that Twisted Wave came out.
Was it really?
That's how I marked that year.
Cool.
In my head.
Yeah. No, there was the first voice conference. It was the first time that voice actors actually got, you know, since the online advent of voiceover happened. Mm-hmm. And we got together at the Palace Station and they threw us into a reception room the opening night and they couldn't get us out because we discovered that voice actors just keep talking.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah.
They're so used to having to read everybody else's script. They're like, you mean I can talk extemporaneously
exactly.
now? This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of, hey, I know, I've seen, read your stuff online, and I yeah. know you, and I've heard of you, and stuff like that. It was, you know, somewhat yeah. the earlier days of social media.
Yeah.
But one of the discussions that we had was, well, we need an industry association. We really need to, this is a unique, you know, vocation, voice acting and voiceover. and we should be able to be represented or at least work together to improve what the industry is all about. It's changed a whole lot since then.
Yeah. But this is something that's meant to replace the union?
No.
Supplement the union?
No, or? No. The union is has its place. I mean, clearly, and I know we have a lot of union members that watch.
Yeah. And some union members who are also
members of WOVO. Absolutely. Yeah. The union is really responsible for, you know, making sure that work sites are safe, mm-hmm. that compensation sticks to the contract, you know, certain working conditions, all the things that go into the contract. What World Voices is an industry association, and an industry association's job is to represent the common interests of everybody who is in the same industry. I think because we are freelance artists as voice actors, we forget that it's an entrepreneurial business. We are all individual yeah. business people. And it's important that you have the resources to maintain the quality of your business. You know, not knowing what's going on out in the industry. You know,
what should you be charging?
But no, we can't. That would be collusion.
We can't
do that.
You can't set rates.
We cannot set rates.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, we can say, look, you know, this person charges this much, this person charges that much, you know, that sort of thing. But that's not really what we're for.
Gotcha.
What the mission of WOVO is, and it's always, and it has been since the advent, and it was really started with four guys in a car. In Ventura, California.
Not to be confused with five men in a limo.
No, no. This was four guys in Dustin Ebaugh's car in the parking lot of a FAFCON. If any of you have ever been to FAFCON, we haven't had one for a long time. But they were, yes, but you were at that one because you and I drove to that one in Ventura.
The Ventura one.
Yes.
The only one I ever got to go to, I think.
Yeah. And so we
came out of being in that car together.
It did. Well, we had a dinner with a bunch of people that night in an Italian restaurant in Ventura, and people were saying we need to be able to communicate with each other. And so we sat there in that car and we're like, well, how do we create an association? And I'm like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we brought in Rob Siglampaglia, our voiceover legal eagle, and we talked about creating a corporate charter, and we went through all that stuff. Wow. And as I recall, I announced the beginning of WOVO on this very show, talking about the need for an industry association. But the mission has always been, in my mind, to promote the professionalism of voice acting to the people who hire us.
Yeah.
That it's important that people understand that we've invested in our businesses, in equipment, in training, you know, also in, you know, bookkeeping software, all those sorts of things. And that we have to learn how to use all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have talent to interpret the copy that clients are giving us and that we're not a dime a dozen. You know,
yeah.
I've been told a few times, you're voice actors, you're a dime a dozen. Well, I've spent more than a dime on all my stuff.
Yeah.
And what it takes for me to become a successful voice actor and having a private entrepreneurial business.
Well, tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are now, like the short version, and how that's really put you in this position to be president now. You've been with World Voices from the beginning.
Yeah.
How has your career led you to that point?
Well, I was, I have been, up until now, I have been vice president and chair of the Technical Standards Committee. One of the things we did early on, and you were involved with this too, and Uncle Roy and Cliff, and we had Joe Van Ripper, and mm-hmm. one other person who escapes my mind at the time because it was, you know, 9 years ago. we decided that nobody had come up with actual standards for audio for voiceover in a home studio, of which you and I, you know, we're the guys that know this stuff because we've been doing this show all these years. So we sat down and probably within 45 minutes, we came up with what it's supposed to be. Prior to that, the audio standards were really based on analog standards.
Yeah.
And we wanted to bring them up into, you know, into the 21st century.
Analog standards and broadcast quality standards.
No, don't ever use that word around me. Yeah, because there's no such thing as broadcast, especially right. now. I mean, we were just talking about podcast microphones and stuff.
Right, and there's no voiceover industry. It's many, many industries.
It is right. many, many, many industries. You know, Dave Courvoisier, one of our former presidents, is always talking. No, let's not call it the voiceover industry. It just reminds me of smokestacks.
Mm. Yeah. Like,
well, yeah, but yeah. we are an industry because, as you said, it's a very multifaceted industry. Mm-hmm. But you know, that was one of the things that we wanted to do was to establish audio standards, which we did. And but the other things are, you know, along with promoting the professionalism of voiceover.
Yeah.
And especially to the people who hire us. I think a lot of people say, well, we've got to get more members. Well, yeah, but we'll get more members by influencing the people that hire us mm-hmm. and doing public relations and letting people know that, you know, we are independent business people and please respect us as such.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing that, you know, we instantaneously realized was community. I mean, when you and I started doing this show, we recognized it early on that, you know, there's community. People wanted to hang out with other voice actors. Mm-hmm. We learn from each other. We commiserate with each other. So one of the first things we did after about a year or so was have a convention. And we did it in Henderson, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And we had just a fabulous time. I mean, it was a very intimate, you know, conference, but it worked really, really well. And it really set in motion a lot of the other things that we wanted to do, mm-hmm. Getting people involved in committees and things along those lines.
Yeah.
But we realized that together, you know, we're very strong. The rising tide floats all boats.
Right.
There's really no competition in the voiceover business.
This notion of like everybody's out for each other or, right. you know, I want to be the best in this. I mean, there's always going to be competitive personalities.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. This is an ever expanding field. There's an ever expanding pool of work.
Absolutely.
And an ever expanding number of media outlets, the web.
Absolutely.
Everything else, right?
Yeah. But your question was, why am I qualified to do this?
I know you've enjoyed being on boards in the past.
Yeah.
Something about being on a board you enjoy.
It's one of those things. I was president of a community board back in Buffalo, and I learned a lot about how to deal with, you know, community funding and all these other things, but also how to deal with the board and get things done.
Yeah. But one thing to have ideas. It's another thing to execute on.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Of things that we want to do. Mm-hmm. But I've watched, not so much from the sidelines because I'm on the board and I make suggestions and you know, there's things that I've wanted to get done and we've gotten them done. Mm-hmm. But it was time for me to become president. We always had this tradition that one of the four guys in the car gets to be president. Well, mm-hmm. one of the four, Chris Metzelesta, left the group because he's a comedy songwriter and he just sort of left voiceover. And
yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So it was my turn. And so I'm like, I'm ready for this. I had time to prepare. There are plans that I want to, you know, there's things that I want to do.
You have a vision for what you want to do.
Well, I always talk about the vision and the mission. What is the mission of our organization?
Yeah.
And how do we get that word out there? We have the resources to do it. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we wanted to do was to be able to promote the professional members. And I'll talk a little bit about the different levels of membership. If you're a professional member, you get to be on voiceover.biz, which is our searchable directory of our professional membership, which has your profile, all your demos.
It's like a marketplace?
It's a marketplace. Not so much a casting site as it is if somebody wants to go in there and instead of paying a fee to a casting site.
Maybe a buyer's guide. It's like a voiceover.
Exactly.
Voice actor buyer's guide. You want to go look through a bunch
that one down.
Voice actors and see who's out there and check them out.
Exactly. So we have that and, you know, it's a good, secure site. And if somebody goes in there, they can type in anything they want, you know, Irish accent, a Southern accent.
Southern Ireland. Southern Ireland.
Southern Ireland person over 65. You know. But it's got a really strong search engine in it, and it will randomly bring up the professionals. And these and to become a member, you have to be a vetted professional, and we have a vetted system for doing that.
Well, besides getting the you know, the audio quality standards.
Yeah.
Getting that ball rolling. What are some other things you feel that World Voices has actually accomplished over its existence?
Well,
it's helped the industry.
There's been a lot of issues that have come up over the years. One of the first ones we took on was ISDN.
Oh, wow.
And this was about 8 years ago.
Uh-huh. When everybody was still thinking, is this thing going to go away or what?
I mean, you and I have been talking for 10 years. This thing's not going to last another couple of years.
And it hung on until recently.
Yeah, right. And what happened was that there was this economic disparity that was created by ISDN because certain markets charged a whole lot more for ISDN than other markets.
Right.
And so I wrote, we called it the Emancipation from ISDN Proclamation. I used to be a social studies
That's
teacher.
What happens, social studies. Yeah.
I had to write it up like, you know. But that apparently riled up a couple of people, including Peter Bishop, who eventually became president. We had an argument about it. He joined the board, and we became good friends, and now we agree on everything.
That's
so
great.
If you know Peter, you know what a great guy he is.
Yeah.
But there's... That was a really important thing because a lot of people noticed that we took a stand on it and told the studios, look, you really need to start using some of these other technologies like Source Connect and IPDTL and some of the other ones that were coming online. Yeah. Some people would say they weren't ready for prime time. Well, they were, and the time was right because it was a lot less expensive for people to do that, which would expose the studios to a lot more talent all over the country and all over the world.
They were just reluctant to adapt it and open up the
right
pool of talent.
Right. So. And it was slowly happening over the years, but the pandemic came along and our friend Robert Marshall at Source Elements, I mean, it just took off.
Yeah.
Source Connect
went like this and ISDN went like this, like.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Well, the FCC had said they wanted to get rid of copper wire communication stuff, and they really
they said
wanted
it was coming, but
yeah.
Having the pandemic essentially closing all the commercial studios, the ones that actually had ISDN lines, that was definitely, I'd say, the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. So that helped a lot. And so that was an issue that we took on. Another one was a particular website whose name will remain nameless. Mm-hmm.
Voldemort? Is that what you guys called it?
Let's not go there. They changed their business model. They used to be a really good site with really good customer service. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone would post a job, you could just audition for it. Mm-hmm. Then they raised their prices, mm-hmm. which they're entitled to do.
Yeah.
And then they changed their business model to something called managed accounts.
Yeah.
Where they were basically cherry picking high budget jobs and saying, look, we'll cast this for you. Just give us the money and we'll cast it for you. We will produce it for you and we will give you the finished product mm-hmm. for your budget.
Doesn't sound so bad.
Well, but say it was a budget of $1,000,
okay.
which was intended for the talent.
Yeah, that was supposed to go to the talent.
Right. And they were lopping off like 80% of it, along with taking 10% on the pay system they had.
Interesting.
And I remember because they were their offices in London, Ontario, still not mentioning their name. And I went and had lunch with the couple that owns this company. And mm-hmm. I said, you're going to have a revolt on your hands. You can't do this. You can't take your customers and treat them as a commodity for you to make money on going both ways because it's not fair. And the money that these people who are hiring talent intend for the talent, not for you guys to go, okay, let's take this guy who's really good and do this where you've got where they're, you know, they're basically saying they have 100,000 subscribers, which I think is nonsense. But we came out very, very strong against that. And that's when we launched voiceover.biz. Instead of telling them what to do, I mean, we said, look, we don't like this. It's not that we're not the voiceover police. We can't tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. But we came up with our own site to challenge them, to show the world that, look, we were able to build a site like this by ourselves. We didn't invest millions of dollars in this. We had some help. Fortunately, we know a really good webmaster who was able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And we created voiceover.biz and, put our professional members on there. Took a lot of work. I know Joe Davis and I spent a lot of time on that, and it took a toll on relationships, and because that was about the time that we moved out here to California.
Oh, yeah. So, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. So it was, but once we did it, people started to join in droves because they wanted to be on our website. Got an email this morning from somebody saying, hey, I got a job with the company in Europe because I was on voiceover.biz. So people are getting hired off of it.
But you guys aren't, as an organization, like monitoring it or trying to figure out some way to monetize it or anything.
Well, we're thinking about, maybe selling advertising on it.
Yeah. But just like banner ads kind of.
Yeah, thing. Exactly. Yeah. Just we're not going to have like commercials on it. Yeah, just banner ads, that sort of thing. That's the deal we have with the webmaster.
But in no way taking any money from the sale, from the transaction, no percentages. Nothing.
We're not acting as a middleman. It's simply
just a marketplace. It's just a buyer's guide.
Like, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, for people joining WoVo, if they join as a professional member, then, they can be on that site.
Yeah. That's obviously a big issue is the sort of some of these pay to plays that become a little, I wouldn't say predatory is fair to say, but are a little disingenuous with the fees. What are some other problems, would you say, World Voices is trying to aim at?
Well,
what's your big visions for?
Well, but my vision is to really, again, to push the idea that voiceover is a profession.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that say they are voice talent. Mm-hmm. And you and I talk to them every day because they're sending us their audio and saying, is my audio good enough? And a lot of times it's like, you have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But those who are very good, people need to know if you hire these people, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
We have a very strict standard by which someone becomes a professional member. I wanted to mention that we have two levels of membership. We have professionals. Mm-hmm. To qualify to be a professional, you have to have had 5 paid jobs in the last 13 months, not from a relative. So if you do your grandmother's answering machine, that doesn't count if she gives you $20 to do that. But that's one of the main, you have to have that qualification.
So 5 paying jobs in 13 months.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why we came up with 13 months.
Seems very liberal, very fair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, how much work is out there? There's so much work and so many people going after it. But if you are actually, being paid at a reasonable rate for that, then you can qualify. Also, you have to have a web presence. You have to have a web footprint, meaning you have to have a website, not a Facebook page.
You have to have a web presence, a brand, shows that you exist, that you're running a business.
Exactly.
Kind of like having a calling card. It's like, I am in business.
Exactly. We want people to understand that it's important to show that you're a professional by having a really good website, or at least a website.
Yeah.
And that there are links that are taking people back and forth. So you exist. You have an actual footprint out there. You're not just somebody saying, I have a Yeti and I'm a voice actor now.
Yeah.
It's a lot more complex than that.
Well, you check audio quality. Do you guys give reviews on websites? We do it on the show, but I mean, do you guys do it as an organization? People with that kind of stuff?
Well, not with websites. I mean,
not designing it, but like saying, hey, I see you have a website, but it could use a little work. Does that fall under like the mentorship?
That would really fall under the mentorship thing, which is something that we've been developing over the last few years. George Washington III, not the president, the
voice actor,
opera singer, and really deep voice guy. He's heading our mentorship program, whereas people can sign up to be a mentor or to be a mentee. When they join the organization, what are you an expert in? Is there something you could spend half an hour a month helping somebody else learn these skills.
Do you have to be, to be a mentee, do you also have to be a mentor?
No.
Can you come into the organization? Like, no, no. You don't have to.
You don't have to be either. You don't have to do either.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, it's not mandatory. Cool. We're looking for people who are interested in doing it.
Right.
And if they feel they have something to offer on, you know, technical stuff or, you know, bookkeeping, business practices, marketing, performance, all these things that go into being a voice actor, it's not easy. I mean, you and I sit here every week and go, it's not an easy business. There's so many things you need to understand, and we want the people to become professional and represent themselves as professional, because when they don't, it's bad. It makes the rest of us look bad.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that we added in early on was best practices. Best practices as a freelance voice actor. Best practices for coaches.
Yeah.
And demo producers, you know, making sure that, you know, it's not that we were, again, we're not the voiceover police, but we wanted to set a standard out there that coaches and demo producers would not take advantage of people simply because they wanted to become voice actors, that they're actually critically looking at somebody's talent and saying, you have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Or, You've got a lot of skill. You have a lot of talent. Let's develop that and show what's unique about you. I find that a lot of coaches tend to try to create people in their own image.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And so
that's a common issue with a lot of consulting.
Yeah. So we have those best practices, you know, and they're listed on our website, which is by the way, world-voices.org. You can put that up there. So anytime. So we want people to adhere to those types of standards. And if someone is violating that and somebody complains that these people, you know, they're members or there's an organization that is sort of not doing the best practices, we can talk to them and say, look, is this fair?
You write a letter or an email?
Yeah, a lot of stuff, and this is one of the things, you know, that I've always been involved with. There's a lot of stuff that can go on in the background.
Yeah.
You know, talking.
You don't have to publicly tweet or shame anybody in any way.
No, and that's the thing.
You can act on an advisory level.
Exactly. You know, I mean, because it's not good to go out there and shame people. I mean, it's bad enough with the cancel culture that we have that goes on in this country right now and around the world. We really just wanted to be fair about things and explain to people, look, you're doing this. Are you, you'd be a lot more profitable if you were respectable and were being good to people as opposed to just being a demo mill or you know, it's like, yeah, I'll teach you how to be a voice actor.
Do you feel like you have some success stories in that area?
We've got a lot of members who've gone through it and, you know, they haven't had a lot of complaints about certain entities. Of course, there was that one particular pay-to-pay site that everybody was complaining about. But it's there as a tool. The more people we have as members, the more influence we have with these organizations. I mean, a lot of industry associations are big organizations. They're from big manufacturers. They charge a lot for membership, and they have lobbying groups in Washington.
Yeah.
Now, there's not a lot lobby about when it comes to voice acting.
Right.
The influence we're trying to have is with the voiceover industry itself. Agents, producers, creative directors, all the people who are involved from that particular part of the industry on the other side of the glass, so to speak. And so that's the most important thing we do. And you may not notice what we're doing, but we're doing it. And that's what an industry association is supposed to do. When there is a big issue, though, we will issue a statement about it and make sure that certain media outlets hear what we're saying, and forward that information to the parties involved.
Gotcha.
Yeah, what we were talking about voiceover.biz, one of the things we also want to do is promote that. And we have the resources now, and we are starting a campaign to talk to production companies, to talk to producers, to talk to the people that hire talent and say, look, here is a roster for the choosing. It's a free roster. I mean, we're not free for hiring, but you can pick and choose amongst these voices that fit into your particular project, and you can negotiate with that particular person or, you know, or that sort of thing. And it works really, really
and
well.
And they know they're going to get professionals.
That's the whole thing, that these are vetted professionals. Their studio is good. They're talented with their voice. They can interpret a script, and they're a professional, and they're worthy of being paid as a professional.
Awesome. Well, I think we should take a break because there's a couple more questions, and then we got questions coming in from the audience. So should we break it off, have a couple minutes, and come back?
We're going to take a break.
How's that sound?
All right.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Let's face it. If you're a voice talent, not everyone in your family or close friends really understands what you need for your home voiceover studio.
You want a what?
Well, voiceoveressentials.com has the perfect answer when it comes to birthdays and other gift-giving for us voiceover folk. New, for the first time ever, after countless requests, voiceoveressentials.com is thrilled to offer the VoiceOver Essentials gift card. You pick the amount you want to give, and they take care of the rest. The recipient will receive an email with their digital gift card and gift code to use on anything they offer on voiceoveressentials.com. Give them or give yourself the gift of getting exactly what you want, like the Harlan Hogan VO1A microphone, the Portabooth Pro or Plus, Harlan Hogan Signature Series VoiceOver Optimized Headphones.
You want a what?
Go to voiceoveressentials.com and click on Shop and Gift Cards and choose the amount. Gift cards now at voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks, Harlan.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
When I speak with actors about adding audiobooks to their voiceover quiver, and doing so through my class, the one I teach with Dan O'Day called the ACX Masterclass, they say, look, we know it's a valuable class. It's got all the things we need. It's really expensive. Do you have a payment plan? I usually have to say, no, we don't. But now I can say, yes, we do, because we're going to do a special four-month payment plan that reduces your four monthly payments down to an amount that would fit in anybody's budget. And then on your fourth payment, we start the class right at the beginning of 2022. So you don't even have to remember that we're opening the doors on this on December 20th. All you have to do is go now to acxmasterclass.com. Take a moment, do it now. Join our alert list, and we'll let you know when the doors open on this special four-month payment plan for the ACX Masterclass. That's acxmasterclass.com.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
Well, we are back from the break, and we'll continue our interview with Dan Leonard, our very own Dan Leonard, as he shares his experience and knowledge about working with World Voices. As you go into your presidency with World Voices, your prior role was with the Audio Standards Committee. Are you going to still continue to try to keep that a role in that area?
Well,
or are you going to kind of let somebody else kind of deal with it?
You know, it's one of those things that it hasn't been a real burden.
No,
lately.
It hasn't been lately. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things we have is the studio approval.
Yeah.
$50, and it goes to our committee. Mm-hmm. And based on the standards that we set, we'll give people, we approve of your studio. We can't like certify a studio. We're not technically an educational entity. So right. We can't give like, you know, certifications.
You're careful not to throw that word around, certification.
Right. So we just say studio approval.
Yeah.
But if it's not right, if there is a problem.
You get notes, right?
We get people notes on it, and we try to get people up to that standard. Again, we want people to sound professional, because if somebody doesn't, it makes the rest of us look bad.
The site clearly communicates what those requirements are.
Well, when you go in,
the audio,
right? It talks about the standards, yeah. You know, in the when it says, you know, studio approval, you go into there, you know, if you're a member, and it's only for professional members. Mm-hmm. You know, the associate members are all like, well, I want to learn how to do all this. We didn't have the time to sit down with everybody and go through the college course that it takes to really do this, super properly. So, but there are the basics that you and I always talk about environment, mic technique, and setting proper levels and stuff like that. I think what we're going to do is we're going to create, a webinar that gives everybody these standards and these basics. So they understand them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that should improve their audio.
And that would be like something that every professional member could access and watch.
Absolutely. Like that, yeah. Well, and any member, associate members. Or,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So you can join as an associate member. I failed to mention that before. You can join if you qualify as a professional, you become a professional member, you get on voiceover.biz.
So everybody starts as an associate then upgrades. Oh, they can come straight in as a pro.
I mean,
gotcha.
You know, people who are in the business know that they're a professional and they want to join the industry association.
Yeah.
But people can join as an associate, and we have the mentoring program, and we have, you know, the standards and those sorts of things. Plus we have the conferences. And as you know, you go to a conference, you're going to learn stuff.
Yep.
And you're going to meet people who know stuff. And you're going to make friends. And, you know, that's...
We are going to have conferences again.
Yes, we are. I know somebody's asking about that. So so what are the questions we got here?
You got it. Let's look at the first one in my queue. And if you're trying to get my attention, I'm also looking at your questions. So be patient. I'll click back and forth in VO and YouTube and Facebook. But... if you want your questions answered, if you didn't realize it, you can post your questions in the YouTube comment area or the Facebook comment area, depending on where you're watching. Please put a Q in front so it gets my attention. First one is from our friend Jim Edgar, and he says,
hey,
are regional mini cons still a priority? Obviously within the health constraints, but... So you guys have done the larger national cons, people fly in,
right?
And then some regional mini cons.
We've been doing
that back.
We are definitely going to be doing that again. We found that it's very economical to run those. Mm-hmm. You get to meet people from your area. One of the things that I've always tried to push, and I think it's going to be another project of ours, is to create, I wouldn't call them local chapters, but at least local meetup groups. There are a lot of great meetup groups around the country. I know Peter O'Connell and I started a herd around Buffalo when we were in Buffalo. And that was a great group. You know, you read scripts to each other. You just discuss stuff. There's this camaraderie amongst voice actors. And if you can do it in your own community where you can go one night a month and talk voiceover with other people, it's really beneficial. And we'd like to have some of those groups affiliated with us and become part of World Voices. The mini cons, we did one up in the Bay Area.
Well, I wanted to ask you real quick, what differentiates the mini con from the con?
Oh, well.
From the regular con.
From the regular conference. Well, the national conference, we've been doing it in Las Vegas the last few years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, we don't like the smoke, the venue's too big. So we're probably early 2023 or maybe later this year in 2022, depending on what the regulations are out there, what the health situation is, we're going to probably go to Orlando. And nothing huge.
But is that considered a MediaCon?
No, that will be the national conference this year. So
national conference meaning that we want everybody who wants to be there to come. And a MediaCon, you limit the participants to a much smaller.
Yeah, and we do it at a very small hotel and get people together and, you know, so they can drive there.
Is the content at the MediaCon locally or regionally focused?
It's both. It's both. Okay. You know, usually someone from the board will show up so we can ask questions of, you know, of the higher ups. I know I'm going to want to go to those because I just love going to conference. You know, and I missed that terribly because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Sure, me too.
But, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're going to start off in Orlando. If we can get a couple of mini cons off the ground for this year, we're certainly going to try. And if we have members in certain places that would like to see a mini-con in their location, let us know if they're willing to organize it. Because if you've ever put a conference together, you know what's involved.
You guys should have a crib sheet on how to do it.
Oh, we do.
Don't you guys have paint-by-numbers how to run a conference?
We have a playbook. You know, but
we'll send it to you as a PDF. Easy payments.
We will give you the assistance you need to put something like that together. You know, at least organize where the hotel will be. We can help negotiate with the hotel.
You give them a good idea of what it's going to take before you.
You have no idea. I've put myself headfirst into planning something for 2023, and you have no idea. I mean, it's talking to hotel brokers and planners. And what can we do ourselves? Yeah. You know, it's
kind of like TEDx.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like it's under the brand of the house, but it's a smaller budget, smaller organization.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you were putting on a mini-con, is there backing other than, is there financial backing from actual the organization itself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things is, you know, this is probably one of the most important points, and I probably should have mentioned this earlier. We are a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
If you look at all of the entities that are putting together conferences, they're all for profit. They're all for making money for the people organizing it.
Yeah.
We do it so it's even Steven, you know, that we're not doing it to make a profit. We're doing it to keep the cost down so people can attend.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they know that, you know, we can, you know, we can, what's the word I'm looking for? Supplement. We can, you know, we can make sure that we have, that a conference is going to have the backing that, you know, if we're running a little bit short, we can afford to keep the price where it is.
That's great.
Yeah. And that's really the most important point is that we're not for profit. We're not out here to make a lot of money for, you know, X person. We're here to help the community and make something that's really important for the community.
Right.
And that's so we're going to do as many conferences as we can, you know, regionally. But I think we'll probably do a national conference every other year.
That's good.
Yeah.
That'd be enough of a schedule. With all the other events going on, I think that's a fair, you know, it's not an overcommitment.
No. You know, and there's things that we can do that, say, other organizations can't, like when it comes to AV. We bring our own stuff. We don't want to have to spend a lot of money on an AV contract.
Do you have any clue what a hotel charges to use their AV stuff?
Unbelievable.
How about their internet?
That's right.
It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, we have microphones. We have speakers. We can do all this stuff.
People that know how to run this
stuff. You know, and you and I have.
I
remember being the AV guy at the last one. I didn't get to go to anything because I was, okay, just this projector. Okay. All right. Make sure that, why doesn't my computer work with that one? And so there was a lot of that.
Small conferences are better for that reason.
Oh, absolutely.
Ben Matthew Wake asks, with WoWo pretty established in the U.S., what is the plan for making it more established in other countries, the U.K., for example, being that it is World Voices?
We are World Voices, and we have a lot of foreign members. My vice president is Ramesh Mitani, who lives in the Canary Islands.
Actually, when you said that, I immediately thought of Canary Islands.
That's what we relate Ramesh to.
Yeah.
And if you know Ramesh, you know what an amazing guy he is. You know, he's really an expert on the European market. And he's done webinars on it. And he does presentations at our conferences. and the big conferences too, about here's how you work with, in the UK, and here's how you work in Spain, and here's how you work in this country and that country. And that's really important stuff. But he also understands the market here as well. He's our vice president. Our former president, Catherine Vassilopoulos, whose name I actually know how to pronounce, she is from Montreal. And the president before that was Peter Bishop, who, while he is an American citizen, is a Brit. So we've really kept an international presence. We have members in the Philippines. We have members in Israel. We have members in Saudi Arabia. We have members, certainly we have members in the UK. I talk to them all the time. And
even Canada?
Even Canada. I know we have members in Canada. Having lived on the Canadian border for a long time.
Lots of friends.
Absolutely. Too. Absolutely. So we truly are an international organization. We've been, working with Central and South America. The thing is, the voiceover culture around the world is very, very different. Each country is very different. The pay structures are very different. Yeah. In some countries, you have to be certified as a voice talent and have a certificate that says, I am a voice talent.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting working with all of those different entities. It's sometimes the language barrier can be difficult. But there's Google Translate, and we had a program we tried to start, WovoSpan, which would be for Latin America, and there's been shifts in leadership and amongst that group, and we'd like to revive
that. A lot of it comes
down
to the leadership. If someone joins the organization who's highly motivated, bilingual, maybe natively Spanish speaking, then that's going to probably become more of a priority, right?
So it is. And as long as
by the membership.
Right, exactly. And that they understand our mission.
Yeah.
Of all those things that I mentioned, professionalism, community, mentoring, all those sorts of things, and integrating those things into, their programs.
A couple more questions. Grace Newton says, are there any volunteer or / committee opportunities if you're just still only an associate member?
Heck yeah. Being an associate member means you can get involved. If you want to learn how to be in the voiceover business, work with other people who are in the voiceover business. The people who are the chairs of these committees, and they understand their area. Karen O'Brien works on our outreach committee. She's been working, talking to people all over the place. And, we do, one of the things we do, we have twice a week, we have cafes, lunch cafes, virtual. I mean, it came out of the pandemic, but people really liked it.
You log in to a Zoom or
to
something.
To a Zoom, and there are people from all over the place. And, someone will throw out a question. And, and that's what, and if you've ever been to a voice conference or you've ever been to one of these types of things, somebody always has something to say, and it's, but you get to meet other people in other places.
That's cool.
And how they do what they do.
It gets rid of that isolation.
Absolutely.
A lot of voice actors feel pretty isolated.
Yeah.
Especially working from home.
Yeah. So we are, we definitely are an international organization. One of the cafes we have is it's a world one. So we try to attract people from Europe and from Asia and stuff, and do it at some strange hour so that, especially since Ramesh can do it.
might be 8 o'clock at night here, or
it might be 2 in the morning there. Yeah, absolutely.
Dan Alpern asks, any upcoming WOVO events in SoCal or in the Western region? I guess we talked about that.
Yeah, we certainly would like to do a mini-con. We did one in the Bay Area a couple of years ago that was fabulous, that Pam Lawrence put together and a few other people up there. And we had a great time. It was, not at a big hotel. And, the program was really good. There was a great party beforehand. And everybody got something out of it.
Yeah.
That was really good. So, if you're in Sacramento or if you're in Portland or in Seattle or, I suppose we could do one here in L.A.
Miami, Dallas.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, definitely. Yeah. And the
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Buffalo. Niagara Falls.
Boston.
No question.
Yeah.
So if you're, if you're a member and you want to get involved in a committee, and we have a bunch of, we have the mentoring committee, we have now we have the conference committee. We have the finance committee, which is strictly for board members. But if there is a particular area that you have some skill or expertise in, we want you as the poster says, especially if, you're good at public relations or marketing, or, you know, if you have a connection somewhere, something that would benefit the mission of the organization, mm-hmm. by all means, join in. If it's something that involves a lot of work, we are talking about creating stipends for people who do that extra work for us. And so a little bit of motivation. If you've ever been in an organization that's all volunteer, you know it takes a long time to get things done.
Yeah.
People have, you know, their businesses, their families, all the other things that are going on in their life. You have to have a commitment to, you know, your own life, but you also have to commitment to our mission and what we're doing with World Voices. And, right. And what we look for is we look for leadership. You know, people say, you know, can I be on your board? That's always a red flag of no.
If they just appear from nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I be on your board?
Yeah, no. If we pick people for the board, for our board of directors, from the people that show up and do the work and show a commitment and the professionalism and the skills necessary, and most important, the leadership to get other people to follow you, you know. And for a while, one of the things that I always believed in, and I probably still do, in any organization like this, it's the person that says, I'm going to do this. We should do this. Who's with me? And
that's what you're looking for.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's, you know,
I have an idea. Anybody want to do it?
Yeah, no, no.
You know, if you speak up, it's you gotta make it happen.
That exactly, exactly.
Don Harvey asks, are you going to be doing anything about the encroachment of AI? Is there any official talks about how to address this yet?
You know, there's a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah.
And various opinions about it.
Yeah.
I don't think we would issue a statement about it per se. I mean, I have my own ideas about it. I know J. Michael Collins wrote a really good article about it last year, talking about it's going to be bad for some, you know, people who do. I mean, there's audio description stuff. That's all going to go AI. Even though a lot of people getting into that and people who are very skilled at it, mm-hmm. you know, he steps into the room. He turns around, you know, for people who are, who have sight problems in the audio direction sort of, that's probably going to go to AI. Crappy e-learning stuff that some cheap company was like, well, we're just going to pay AI to do this.
Yeah.
Fine. If they're that cheap, you don't really want to work for them.
Yeah, you don't want to make $7 an hour.
No.
Or less.
Exactly. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. I have listened to these AI voices. You know, there's still the uncanny valley there, as far as I'm concerned.
It's going to be a long time before it is truly convincing.
You can't, I mean.
Or directable.
Right. They can't change the way a robot breathes.
Yeah.
I've listened to one, and it's like, you know, they keep putting the same breath in there.
It's like it's like you copy-pasted the breath in,
It's, you know, it's a popular.
You think there would be a committee? Is there a place for a committee about this thing?
Well, certainly it's worth discussion.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, when you go to a conference or you go to one of the mini cons, someone's going to bring that up. And that's one of the things we do at these conferences is it's not necessarily a bunch of speakers that you want to go hear.
You don't just sit and listen. It's very interactive.
It is an interactive discussion. Someone will lead a discussion. Well, how do you do this? Well, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
And it's a much more powerful type of conference because of that. We don't want to be like the typical, you know, with lots of big sponsors and all that kind of stuff. We can make sure that people get a really good experience, meet the other people in the organization, and it's the networking really that helps you get work in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons that we really promote that.
Two more questions.
Okay.
Jim Edgar says again, would love to see a Meet the Mentor connection focused session in any of the next conventions. That's interesting.
I will discuss that with Mr. Washington, the third. Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea, Jim. I mean, we'll talk about the mentorship program at the next conference.
Jim, do you want to meet mentors, or do you want to be a mentor? As a mentor. Which one? You could do both.
Mentor or mentee?
Yeah. And one last one from Rob. And we talked about this already, so you may not be able to give him a good answer. But he says, regarding studio approval, do you have any ballpark figure how much a studio owner ought to charge for VO work in Ohio? So it definitely doesn't fall under the studio approval umbrella.
No.
And you guys are really careful not to directly discuss rates.
Right. Huh? You're an independent business person. You decide what you think you're worth. Just don't undervalue yourself. I think.
What are some resources, though? Had to use some resources.
Well,
to figure out
of
what
course.
Charge,
well, so. there's the GVAA rate guide, which everybody uses, and some have stolen.
Yeah, it gets reprinted and reused.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you go to GVAA.com, they go to their rate guide. It really sets it, and they update it, which really helps. But it's not collusion. It's just like, this is the range of what you should be charging for this, ears and eyeballs. Who's going to see it? How many people are going to see it? What markets? Those sorts of things. And here's how much. Traditionally, here's the range what people can charge. And where do you fit? Anyway.
Well, so, I thought that was really helpful. I still learned some stuff about World Voices and what you guys have planned.
Yeah.
So. You know, congratulations.
Well, thank you. If you want to join, get that address up there, Sue. It's world-voices.org. And there's a tab in there that says join today. And that will get you into our process. And there is a vetting process. And our amazing membership vice president, Mike McGonigal, does a great job. It's all fairly automated, but still he goes through every application. Okay, this person is an associate. This person is a professional. Or if somebody is an associate and they meet the criteria for professional and they let us know, hey, I did such and such.
Yeah.
We vote them up to professional level, which is really great. But it's $99 a year, which compared to some other professional associations is dirt cheap.
It's very on par with others that I've joined.
Yeah. And
like AES.
Exactly.
It's about the same price.
You know, and it all goes to benefit everybody. You know, we're, like I said, we're the rising tide is floating all boats. We're promoting voiceover with voiceover.biz helping promote you. We're not going to find you work. You still got to be good enough to get it. Right. Your demos have to speak for themselves. But
right.
Anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now we can wrap up the show and get on to Tech Talk.
Absolutely.
Right after this.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
It's time to talk about Source Connect. Actually, Source Elements. They're right. Actually the sponsor. But they make Source Connect.
Yes, they do.
And a ton of other tools. I think what makes Source Connect unique, and we've been dealing with all of these remote technologies, is the way it works on the studio end. So you as talent, you're just connecting into a system, right? But you don't realize what happens on the other end. And
Nor do you want to.
You don't want to have to know how the sausage is made. Trust me, these sessions are complex. But it's nice for the producers because on the producer end or the engineer's end, your audio is being fed right into the timeline, right into typically Pro Tools, but it could be Nuendo or any other pro-level multi-track DAW, and it plugs right in. And that's one of its distinguishing features, that among others. And that's why it's going to stick around. That's why it's been around as long as it has been. And that's why the best paying, arguably, I think it's, you have to be careful to say this, but the better paying gigs are the ones going to ask to use Source Connect.
Well, and you'll see that in specs. Must have paid version of Source Connect.
And there's a paid version, right? There's a paid version that's Source Connect Standard. And there's still a free version called Source Connect Now, which works great, but it is not a part of the normal Source Connect system that plugs into Pro Tools. So they're two different things. But you should become familiar and at least get yourself an account. So head over to source-elements.com, get a 15-day free trial, get yourself up and running so you can feel confident and understand what it means to be a Source Connect voice talent. Anyway, we'll be right back and wrap things up right after this.
You're still watching VOBS?
Let's wrap it up, Dan.
Yep.
We're done. We're back. We're back to say goodbye. Should we, what should we do? Should we say goodbye and talk about Tech Talk? Are we doing Tech Talk next?
We're going to do Tech Talk next.
Okay.
I think it's important that we honor and mention the folks that have been donators to our wonderful show here.
Absolutely. We have quite a nice list of names, almost all of which I've read before and may still screw them up. So let's start with Rob Ryder, Patty Gibbons, Greg Thomas, Shauna Pennington Baird, Yes Icon Productions, that's Martha.
Martha Kahn, yay.
Don Griffith, Stephen Chandler, Sandra Manwiller, Robert Leadham, and our buddy Uncle Roy at Antland Productions.
All righty.
They've all clicked the subscribe or the donate button. Not subscribe, but donate. You can make a one-time donation or you can do a recurring subscription if you like to ongoingly support the show and ongoingly have your name read.
Right. Now, next week on this very show, we will be doing Tech Talk number 69.
Which we're about to tape right now.
We're about to.
If you're
so
live.
If you're here live right now, hang out, because we're going to take a quick little break here, and then we're going to re-rack it and do Tech Talk. If you've got technical questions, join us for that. We'd love to talk, about tech, because that's what George and I do.
Specifically studio for VO, but, it's a little bit tangentially related, podcasting or video stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
We've probably dealt with it.
Exactly. So,
can I mention that I have a new blog?
You have a new blog? What?
I have a
you
new,
have time for that?
I have a new old blog. I've dusted off the blog. So I recently got fed up with posting lots of lengthy answers on Facebook groups and finally decided I'm just going to, each time these questions come up, write a blog post. So if you want to see all of my recent answers to Facebook questions, I show the question, where it came from, and my answer. So that's how I'm generating blog content now, and I'll post that stuff back on Facebook. Anyway, so the blog lives again.
Excellent.
Over at georgethe.tech.
Yeah, it's great, because you can copy and paste old stuff and just... Because it's all the same now.
I do that sometimes. I want to give the right information, but I want to make sure that
it's
people up to date, and I want them to come back to George the
Exactly. Let's see here. Thanks, we need to thank our sponsors, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements, the makers of Source Connect.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And JMC Demos. All righty. Well, you did all the chat room stuff tonight. Jeff Holman is at some red carpet thing because
he's
he was in some movie.
Good for him.
Sue Merlino for doing a great job directing tonight. And
all in the room at the same time.
I know.
Like the old days.
It's been years. Literally. It's been like 2 years. And of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. We know you're out there, Lee. Thanks so much. All right. Tech Talk coming up next live, if you're watching live. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.